Oh, correct.
Hey, Judy.
Well, I'll give it to you in a second.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's good to be here. This church has become more than just a church that we visit. You guys have become family to us, and I thank God for that family. And because there's no family like God's family. And I know you guys pray for us continuously, and we thank you guys for that. We thank you for putting us up for the week. We came out here for totally other different reasons that kind of fell apart, but the Lord had other things in mind, and one of those things is for many years I prayed for my mother. 8 years ago, when I got saved, prior to that, I really hated my mother, and I would tell her that to her face always. I would just let her know that I really hated you, and it would be nothing for me if you died and just left me alone. That would be the easiest thing for both of us, that you just went your way and I went mine. And so after I got saved, one of the first challenges, besides my anger that the Lord has taken from me, was to honor my mother. What do you mean, honor her? And in Ephesians, it says, honor your mother and your father, that your days on earth may be long. And this is the first promise, or first commandment with promise. I said, oh, Lord, you know what she did to me. You know how she lived. You know what she's done. You know the things she said. You know the hurt that she's caused me. And you know the Lord showed me? Show me that stipulation in there where I told you to honor her. Wow. Oh. Woo. All right, Lord. Then you'll have to be the one to help me do that. And sure enough, slowly but surely, the Lord has brought me to that place where not only do I honor my mother, but I love my mother. Amen. I have a heart for my mother today that I never had for her. And I thank God for God and his mercy and such. And so we come out here, and I pray continuously for my mother's salvation. And so witnessing to my mother, trying to teach her, trying to help her see things, trying to bring her to church and everything. And sometimes it caused friction in between me and her, because here I am her son, and she thinks I'm trying to tell her what to do. She wasn't taken as somebody who's concerned about her soul and would love to see her saved and have a wonderful life. That's not how she took it. She would just take it that, listen, you're my son, I'm the mother, you're the child, you can't tell me these things. I said, okay, Lord, I can't do it anymore, but you know what? You have somebody in mind. Would you please bring that person? And sure enough, this last week, during our youth week, one of our friends, he's a pastor out in Wellsville, New York. His wife, Anchor Baptist Church, Pastor Dan Cassiola, just the sweetest pastor's wife. I mean, just a wonderful, wonderful woman. She came up to me. She said, Dale, I'd like to start going to visit your mother. I told Amy, I said, oh, there it is. There is the answer to my prayer. God is about to send somebody to intervene for my mother. She went over there Wednesday or Thursday, I believe it was. She got back and her husband said, hey, my wife just went and visited with your mother, spent four hours, no interruptions in the Bible, just teaching my mother, just showing her things. And she said, your mother just sat there, Dale. And she listened. She just sat there. She never argued. Because when you're reading the Bible, when a person finally comes under conviction, it says their mouth has been shut. My mother no longer could stand against the Holy Ghost, could no longer stand against the Word of God. It had shut her mouth. That night, I was going to call my mother. And the Lord just said, leave it. Leave it. I could not make the phone call. And I believe that in those 2 days, my mother was on deep Holy Ghost conviction. Last night, I get a phone call. I don't know, it's going on 10 o'clock. I was half asleep. It's my mother. I thought, oh my goodness, somebody passed away in the family. Something has happened. It's a tragic. My mother doesn't usually bother us on the road or whatever. She calls me, but I can hear it in her voice. There's something going on. She's been crying. I said, what's going on, Ma? She said, I got saved. She said, I got saved. I was on the edge of my bed, and she goes, I just cried out to God. I just cried out to him that he would just save me. I finally understand it. I finally see it. I finally understood what that Bible was saying to me. I finally came under that conviction. And she goes, I was by myself in the dark. And I just got on my knees next to my bed and I prayed. And he saved me. Amen. He saved me. He gave me a new life. She said, the peace. Amen. And I'm on the phone going, wow. What is this? Okay? And the peace that was coming, God just showed me, Dale, this is real. I'm like, and it's just a peace that my mother really got it. She understood it for the first time in her life. I will see my mother in eternity with me. She'll be up there with me when I go to heaven. And what a blessing the Lord has. And you know, I said, not a wonder why I had to be out here. God had to move me out of the way. And thank God that that lady went in there and showed her. What needed to be said. Thank God. I guarantee you this. I guarantee my mother's sitting in church today.
Amen.
She told me, Dale, I need to get baptized now. She was, it's time for me to get baptized now. I understand that baptism never saved me. She said it was Jesus Christ. And you know what I had to do? Nothing to earn that. And that no matter what she went through, my mother went through a horrible, horrible life. If I sat here and told you the stories, it'd break your heart. Of the molestation of her fathers and the abuse of the men and so on and so forth, her own addictions and such. I mean, my mother went through it. And for her to realize that somebody loved her beyond me, she thinks I'm the only one that loved her. She never understood what it was to be loved by Jesus Christ and what he really did for her. She knows that today. Amen. How about that? Amen. As I thank God for that. I went to bed last night. I just slept like a baby. I had good tears rolling down my face. I was excited. I looked over at my wife. I said, she got it, Amy. I really believe she got it. Yeah. I believe that she got it. And when I just looked at my wife, you could just see it in my wife's eyes, my daughter, she was excited. She's like, my goodness, Grandma got saved. She got saved. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his goodness to those who don't understand, but he can open their understanding. To those eyes who have been closed, he can open their eyes to that thing. And I thank God, you know, I thank God because when you guys are praying for me and my family, it's not just me, Amy, and Luke. It's my family. And God's seen that. God sees the prayers of the people. I've had many people praying for my mother. And thank God today she's saved. I thank God for what he's done. So I just thought I'd share that with you because it's a blessing. I'm hyped up over it. Yeah, hey, listen, it gave me some encouragement. I had a hard time falling asleep. I just everything kept repeating over in my head and everything. I'm just thinking of my mom because just, you know, over the last two nights, my heart's just been broken over my mother. Just broken. Don't know how to reach it. I don't want her to live that life that she's been living, just trapped in a, she's got a cell and it's called her bedroom. She just never would leave. She just suffered in there. I mean, suffer. You ask my wife, you want to talk about suffering. She would just suffer in that room by herself. And it was hard for people to be around her. But thank God. So pray for my mother. Her name is Ronnie. Her name is Veronica, but she likes to be called Ronnie. I think she spells it R-O-N-I. She goes, why do you always spell that wrong? I said, because your name is Veronica and I call you Mom. I've never seen you write down Ronnie. So I believe she spells it R-O-N-I is what we got established here this morning. So if you would, please pray for her because, you know how it is when you get saved, there's joy in that thing and then the challenges start coming. And I told my mother, I said, Mom, you got any questions or anything, you call me. I said, I'm there. Listen, I don't care where I'm at. You got Bible questions, anything, you just call me and I'll be there for you. You know I would. I was there before she got saved. I'll be there after she's saved. And so as Jacob wrestled with God, and I wrestled for the last few days on what message I should preach. You ever get that wrestling match with God? What you want? Well, Lord, I think this one will be good. That's not the... Lord, listen. Let me just explain something to you, Lord. This is the one that I'd be more comfortable doing. No. I wouldn't be more comfortable with you doing that. Hey, I'm new to this, right? I'm just a baby in this thing, so I'm learning. And so as I learn, I look and I go, okay, well, I'll be obedient, Lord, and I will do that message, though I don't think it's a good idea. Though I don't feel comfortable. And God said, Dale, I want you to go preach that message. And I said, I will preach that message. And so if you would, just pray as you're sitting at your pew this morning, and pray that God would use my mouth, and pray that He would use this message, because I believe it's from Him. And so many things have crept into the churches over the last, we'll just go back 60, 70 years. So many things have crept into the churches. And one of those is, we know that the God of this world, the small g God of this world, has perverted the Bible. Right. We know that that goes back to Genesis 3, chapter 1, where he's got them doubting God's word. Yea, hath God said. And so people, men today, back in the 1800s, when they started going out there and perverting the word of God, they're doubting, has God really said that? Yes, He really said that. But you know, man knows better than God. Just like I wrestled with God, so did they. But they know what they gave into their flesh. And therefore, we have those perverted versions of the Bibles out there. And you know why? He did it subtle. That's what it says. He's subtle. Very little. It was contriving. He tricked them. And it wasn't big things, you know, because let me just say this, my friends. If God came in and He tried to change something big inside of you, go, wait, whoa. But let me say, if He did it a little at a time, one little thing at a time, one small compromise at a time, one small compromise at a time, next thing you know, you find yourself in a place, you're like, whoa, how did I get here? That compromise. Remember, He's subtle. He knows how to appease our flesh. He knows that that just because we're saved doesn't mean our flesh disappeared. That old man is still there. And so in Genesis 3, we see that he's been casting doubt on the word of God. And once he accomplishes this, the rest is easy. You say, well, I don't compromise. I believe the King James Bible is the word of God. Good, I'm happy. But there's another place he attacks. Music. He attacks music. He attacks by music. That's where most good, faithful Christians are in compromise. Well, so how do you do? When he was cast out of heaven, he said that I'll be like the Most High God, not the opposite. Many people look at the devil like he's the opposite. He said, I'll be like the Most High God. He wants to look like Jesus. He wants to have that other spirit. He wants to have that gospel that we'll get into that you see that Paul warns about in 2 Corinthians 11, chapters 3 and 4. He says, if anybody come to you and preach another Jesus, or preach another spirit, or have another gospel. He says, don't fall for that nonsense. And so here, what I'd like you to do, if you would, turn with me to please Daniel chapter 3. And let me just share with you here what God has given for me to preach here, this message. And it's an uncomfortable message for me. This is uncomfortable for me because I've never had God really challenge me if I'll go and preach something somewhere. I don't know why He's got me preaching this message. I have zero clue why. But I know this, if I was not obedient, it would not have been pretty for me. I believe that with all my heart. And I'm learning how to be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice, is what it says. We sing the little VBS song, O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Okay, that's what we're teaching our children. Then how not the man of God be obedient, right? How can I not be obedient to what God asked me to come and preach? And so please continue to pray for me as you sit in that pew. And so we see here, and I got to get to Daniel chapter 3 myself as I sit here and talk, but let me get there real quick. And I want to read to you just a few things here. I want to point some stuff out in Daniel chapter 3 here. Verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was three score cubits, and the breadth thereof six cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. We all, as Christians, we say, hey, that's pretty plain to see. We're not going to bow down to that thing. You see, that's a big thing that's set before us, right? We're not going to give in to that thing. And then I want you to read on. It says in verse 2 here, it says, and then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, and the sheriffs, and all of the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Hey, you know, the first thing he went after was the leaders. I want you to know that when the leaders leave God, so will America. When the leaders are in compromise, so will the Americans. So will the Christians. And you know what we need to do? We need to pray for those leaders. That's what God says. You pray for them who are in authority. Pray for those who he put. It says, there's none power but of God. Whether it be for good or whether it be for a punishment, God has set them in that place. And I want you to know here that when the leaders start to compromise, the people follow. That's what's going on here. He didn't attack the people first. He went after the leaders. Verse 3, it says, "Then the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the governor of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar that the king had set up. And they stood before that image and that Nebuchadnezzar had set up." Verse 4, "Then the herald cried aloud, 'To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages.'" Verse 5, "That in what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, that you fall down and worship the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." What did he use to get those people to bow? Music. Music. What music are you listening to? What image has the devil snuck in and have you bowing down to that you do not recognize? What is it? That's the reality. The reality is that the devil's using music. He's using music to get people to bow down to false gods. It's what it is. It's what's happening. Music is another tool the devil uses that we see here in Daniel chapter 3, 1 through 7. It's a perfect example of him using it to get people to bow down to false gods. Why? If you turn to Ezekiel 28, I'll show you why. Go to Ezekiel 28. And I'll explain to you why the devil not only is subtle in changing God's word, but he's subtle in putting that music out there. And here's what it says in Ezekiel chapter 28, starting in verse 13. Ezekiel 28, verse 13. Now keep in mind, Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, when the devil was cast out of heaven. Here it is, Ezekiel chapter 28, starting in verse 13. He says this, "Thou hast been in Eden," talking of Satan, "the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold." You see, all that stuff was put in the image of Nebuchadnezzar. So you see, he's using worldly things to attract people as well. And then it goes on, and it says, "In the carbuncle, and the gold, and the workmanship of the," here it is, "and the tabrets, and of the pipes that was prepared," where? "In thee." In thee. "In the day that thou was" what? "Created." The devil, who's the cherub that covereth the throne, when he was created, God put music in him. Then he rebels. Does God keep him in heaven? Isaiah chapter 14, it says he cast him out of heaven. What does he have in him? He's got that pride. He's got that deceit. He's subtle. And he's got the music. And he's about to go and wreak havoc on the churches of God by getting them to bow down to the image of music. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, it says that the devil was cast down. And when he was cast down, he brought music. And remember, when he says this, he tells God that I will be like the Most High God. Does that say opposite? You see, he wants to look like God. He wants to be called Jesus. He wants that spirit. He wants his own gospel, which we know that he's put out there. Those perverted versions are the devil's gospel. We know that he has a spirit out there roaming in those churches. We also know he has his own music. And people are putting Jesus in it. If you read Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, let's go there real quick. Just turn with me real quick.
And I'm trying to get Ephesians 5. I'm trying to get through as much as I can, you know, because I want people to get some help out of this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. And I want to show you some comparisons here. And now listen, let me just say, I didn't learn this out of a book. Somebody didn't teach me. I sat down with the Holy Ghost of God one day. He showed me this about myself. Okay? This is where I got this message from. It was hard for me to see, but I thank God that he showed me. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 19, says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see here in Daniel chapter 3, it says that that music made a sound. You see, the devil in the world wants to give you a sound. But God says he gives you a melody. God puts a melody in his music. He puts a melody in that book that you have sitting right there, those hymns and spiritual songs. That's where the melody's at. The rest of that music is a sound. That's what the devil uses. He uses the sound. And here it says this, and I have written down here, it says, in Daniel 3:5, it says that did you hear a sound? Notice that it didn't say psalms and hymns and spiritual songs went on when they were going to bow down to that image. Because the devil knew that, you know what? I can't get them to bow down when spiritual hymns and songs are being done. I can't get them to bow down when those hymns are, those songs are being sung. But if I get a sound out there, they'll bow to it. They'll bow to it. Without these, without psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody, without these, all else is just a sound, and it's a small compromise that leads to big trouble. It's reality. That's reality for God. That's reality that he has given us these things to sing. He's given us these spiritual songs and hymns to sing, and that yet we will compromise in that place. When we can feel comfortable in that compromise, there's a problem. And the problem is not with God. The problem is with us. Godly music and hymns stir up the spiritual. Some emotions may accompany that and give an attitude of thankness and worship, right? You just read in verse 19 here, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts. To who? To the Lord. What's the very next verse say? They're thanking. They're in a mood of prayer and thankfulness and worship. That's what it does. It stirs up not your emotions, it stirs up your spiritual to be thankful for what God has done. Thankful for what he's doing. To go out there and you are able to serve him and walk in that Christian life and walk in that newness of life and thank him for the things that he's given you. Thank him for his blood and his salvation. That's what that does. But let me just say this. That other worldly Christian music and worldly music, it stirs up the emotion and it abandons the spiritual and focus on self-worship. It's self-worship. Me, 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 I. Our praise, glory, and honor goes to a holy God. Not us. Not us. But we've turned it around. You see in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, both of these say music is to be done unto the Lord and not self, not with the emotions, but unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not of men. Not of men. What is our music glorifying? Is it glorifying our spiritual? Or is it glorifying the outside that men are hearing it? It's glorifying our emotions. It's glorifying our life. That music should be glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who saved our souls from the depths of hell. The blood of Jesus Christ that was spilled for those precious old songs that we sang in this church today. Those things are coming a thing of the past. It's hard to go into church and find those anymore. It's become compromise out there. God forbid if we let go of those songs. Hey, we say, Pastor, we got to be faithful in preaching that Bible. Well, let me tell you this. That Bible is in these songs. That Bible is in those songs. And now we're going to remove those out of our churches. And what do we have left now? Us. I
Notice in Ephesians 5:20, when you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it works on the spiritual aspect of a person to promote worship and thankfulness, not emotions. God's not trying to stir up your emotions. No, you know, there are emotions when you sing those good godly hymns. You get stirred up because you're so grateful for what's been going on in your life. You're so thankful for what God has done. At least that should be the attitude. Not because, oh, look, he gave me this, and look, he's given me that, and look, he's made me this, and he's made me that. His songs take it off of us and put it on him. When Christian music has its own genre, when the music packs nightclubs, concert halls, and stadiums, it's a problem. When unsaved music, unsaved people, and ungodly people show up and enjoy an emotionally charged night without the praise of Jesus Christ, without repentance, without him being crucified, without no change in their life, that's a problem. When you have Christian music selling out concert halls, and we used to go to those. People are smoking dope and drinking beer and trying to worship God. God forbid if we ever call that Christian music. God forbid if we ever get into that and say, that is Christian. Hey, let me just tell you this. You know what God had to show me about myself, Brother Scott? That then people were putting music out there to appease to my flesh. I used to listen to hip-hop, hard rock, and all that. Guess what's out there? Christian music. Death metal. You ever hear death metal? Where they sing like that? Oh, there's Christian death metal out there. You think God is glorified in that garbage? Christian country, Christian hip-hop, Christian rock and roll, really? That's just the devil appeasing your flesh. That ain't glorifying God anywhere. That's nonsense. That's a devil that has crept in and it's brought you to a place of compromise. God help us. God help us. God help us if we don't get rid of those biblical things, those psalms and spiritual songs and hymns that God wants to sing to glorify him. That those people, when you're riding down the road and they hear you singing about what God has done for you and praising his name, they might hear that and get saved. How many people, I sit there in the jail and I'm sitting there and I'm witnessing to somebody down below and somebody up front comes up and kicks the gate and says, hey man, I want to hear about that too. Amen. But if I was in compromise, what are they going to hear? Hey, I'm going to offer you the same exact thing that the world has, but I'm going to stamp Christianity on it. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for not leaving me the same person you've always left me to be. I thank God he's removed those things out of my life. Why do I want to be the same? Hey, Pastor Hector, I want to get out of that life, not go back into it and call it Christianity. Yeah. I did not want that. I wanted a God who could deliver me from that. I wanted a God who could bring me from that place and give me a new life in Jesus Christ. How about that? You know what? And that included my music. That included my music. And I thank God he removed that stuff out of my life. By adding the name Jesus, Lord, or God to rock and roll, hip hop, country, and metal does not make it Christian. 1 John 4:4 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world, and this includes music. It's not all of God. Just because they put the name Jesus in there, or Lord, or God somewhere, doesn't make it Christian. Oh, we got to go with the times. Then why don't you give up the Bible and go with their times? Go with their Bible then. That's what it's about. What's next? You're going to leave the King James Bible? I'm just saying, listen, you guys are my friends and I love you, but the reality is, that's where the Christians are headed today. And it's okay with it. We got to be comfortable with it. If you're comfortable in something that God is against, there's a problem and it's not with God. Take it for what you want. But I'm telling you now, this was one of the hardest messages I've had to ever preach in my life, Pastor Hector. I want you to know that. And I don't even know your lives in there in private. I have no clue what you listen to or don't listen to. I just know God instructed me to come here and preach this. You think I'm kidding? I got a whole other message right here that I thought the Lord wanted me to preach.
I said, I'll bring that just in case I change my mind. And I sat there. You noticed that I was being real quiet sitting there because I was struggling with the Lord again. That's reality. That's reality as a new Christian who's learning how to be a preacher that God has called, not what Dale has called. Didn't God call me? Isn't he the one who sent me out? Then I have to learn how to do this stuff. Hey, I'm still a baby in Christ. I'm just barely out of diapers when it comes to Christianity. God help me. I lived 40 years out there in the world. 40 years out there in the world. It didn't all get knocked off of me in 8 years. I still got to listen to that still small voice. It's not in the crowds. It's not in the winds and the fires and the big explosions. You know, I got to, he said, shh, peace. Be still. And now listen. Now listen. Yes, Lord. Remember when we prayed? Me and my wife, I don't know, a couple months after we got saved, we knelt down. And I hope this will hold me when I get there. I said, we're holding each other. I mean, tears and snot all over. We'll go anywhere. We'll do anything, Lord. Send us. We'll do it. And here we are. Doing it. Even when I'm not comfortable doing it. God said, go out there. He says, be in season and out of season, right? Be ready. Preach in season and out of season. You go out there and you do what I say. He says this in Jeremiah 1, be not afraid of their faces. Be not afraid of their faces. For I put that word. He touched my mouth with his hands and he put the words in my mouth. You see, I'm a human being just like everybody else. And I always tell the guys that are in jail and prison, I said, you know why you hate this book so much? Because it goes against everything that you are. It goes against everything that I am. That's how you know a person didn't write it. That's how you know a human being didn't write it. Because it goes against everything that we are. He says in Isaiah chapter 55, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways, thus saith the Lord. And we get comfortable in thinking our ways. We get comfortable because we think we know better. We think we know what's best for us. Then what did you need to be saved for then? What did you need to be saved for if you're going to take control of your own life? That's not what I read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Being a holy sacrifice, holy and acceptable under who? Self. Who are called according to, Romans chapter 8, 20, who are called according to whose purpose? His purpose. What's his purpose? Read verse 29. To be conformed into the image of his son. To look less and less like you and more like Jesus. That's his purpose for your life. You don't always have to be a preacher. You can sit right there in the pews and become more and more like Jesus. You can become a prayer warrior, somebody who sings good, godly Christian music, plays piano, cleans this church, whatever. God said he could use that to turn you into what he wants. It's not according to your purpose anymore. It's over with. You gave up your purpose when you got washed under that blood. It's not about your purpose anymore. Thank God, it's not my purpose. I hated my purpose. You know, I had to come to a place where I absolutely hated things. You know why? If God can't bring a person to a place where they absolutely hate something, they'll go back to it time and time again. Don't believe me? Look at the children of Israel. We're just like them. God delivered them out of Egypt. Where do they want to go? Back to the world. Back to the world. And stamp Christianity on it. Uh-oh. I feel comfortable with that music. I feel comfortable with that. God doesn't want you to feel comfortable in that. He's called you out of that. He's called you from that. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Well, how can I witness to people if I'm separate? Listen, living their life and believing what they believe and witnessing to them and standing on and believing what you believe is two different things. I can live separate and live in this world. Be holy, for I am holy. Wow. Do you know that verse is only possible if you have Jesus living in you? There's no way you could ever live holy without Jesus Christ. But you know what it says? Be holy, for I am holy.
God help us.
Many of the CCM, contemporary Christian music movements, people are repenting today, saying that we have created a beast which has turned away and has walked away from Jesus Christ and the church and true salvation. And that quote was done by Daniel Lucarney, who's one of the founding members of the CCM, with the Christian Contemporary Music Movement. He's finally come to a place where he said, man, we've destroyed that. We've taken people away from what God calls good, godly Christian music. We've taken that away. We replaced it. He understood that. It hurt him when he's seen that. And now he's out there writing books to warn people. They give people the ability to choose what sounds like the music of the unsaved world and the music that they used to listen to before they got saved, and they just add the name Jesus, God, or Lord to it and call it Christianity. If you would, turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. What time is it? Okay, good. We're good. I got a few more minutes. Revelation chapter 12. And just a verse here I want you to see, because this is still going on today. Revelation chapter 12. We're going to go to verse 9. This is, we're talking about end time prophecies and such, but you know, this is still going on today. This will happen still. And it says here, in the great dragon was cast out. That means he was cast out of heaven. The old serpent, that's the one that met Adam and Eve. And he's called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. I want you to see that word deceiveth. Here it has an ETH on the end of it. Anytime you see a TH or ETH on the end of your word in the King James Bible, it means something that continues to happen. The devil's still deceiving. Hey, I got it right. I got the King James Bible. Okay, what about the music? What about a holy life? You see, the devil's still deceiving. The devil's still got he's got blinders on their eyes, and they're only looking one way. They're not looking at it God's ways. And it says here that he's deceiving. He's that one who's out there. He's called the deceiver. Why is he the deceiver? Hey, I'm going to give you a little something here. Nowhere in your Bible, in the New Testament, does God, the Holy Ghost, ever tell you to protect your heart. Because he knows that Jeremiah 17:9-10 says your heart is desperately wicked. It's so wicked that, you know what? It will take the devil himself. Proverbs chapter 2 says that. Your heart will take the devil himself and make him a captive. That if your heart ever met him in the alleyway, that the devil would have to bow down to your heart. That's how wicked a human heart is. Do you know what? Do you know how easy it is for a human heart to follow what Satan wants? Check your life. He already knows that if he can start tricking you in the smallest things, he can get you to compromise a little bit. You'll follow. But you know what the Bible tells you to do? Protect your mind. Protect your thinking. Why do you think it says put on the helmet of salvation? Protect your thoughts. Because the devil knows if he can get one thought to go one way, your heart will follow. It's wicked. Desperately wicked. If it can get your thinking, if it can just get your thinking to go one way, he knows that because your heart, you'll already follow. And that's why Paul goes through that New Testament and he tells you over and over again to protect your mind. Protect it. Guard it. Get those things out that should not be there. Because the devil, like a roaring lion, walking to and fro, seeking whom he may what? Devour. You know what that word devour means? To totally annihilate. There's not a person sitting in these pews that the devil would not love to totally annihilate your life. Because let me just say this. You go, well, you know, I'm not really much in the Christian life. There's people watching you. There's people watching you. They're listening to you. They're hearing you. And you know what? If Satan destroys you, it'll destroy them. They'll go down with you. Do you ever think of that? They'll go down with you. Selfish. It's just me. I'll just destroy myself. I never thought, oh, there's nobody. Nobody's ever gonna watch me. Now I remember one time in my early years of being a newborn babe in Christ. Well, I'm still there, but even earlier.
I remember saying, you know what? I'm not cut out for this. And I just remember 6, 7, 8 people saying, my God, went to my pastor. I said, boy, if Dan walks away from this, now what? I said, oh. It wasn't just about me anymore. There were people watching me, man. There were souls that were lost that if I were to walk away, man, they may have never gotten saved. But you know what? There's people in the church who have gotten saved in the last couple of years because of that.
Am I lying, Amy? Get up there and preach a message that I have no clue why God wants me to preach that message. And next thing you know, somebody has gotten saved. What if I walked away? What if I were to walk away? What if I were to start compromising in my life? You go, gosh, you must live like a hard nose. No, I do not. I don't live like a hard nose. Matter of fact, I have fun, I'm loose, and we have a good time. I know how to live in this world and be separate from it. I can live in this world and be separate, and I'm okay with it. I'm happy to be where I'm at, Brother Scott. You know why? Because I don't live amongst it. I don't do what they do. I don't have the burdens that they have. I don't have that sin. I don't have my conscience is so clear, it's insane. Because there was nothing on this planet that could ever clean my conscience the way it did. There was no medication that could ever be given to give me the clear conscience that I have today.
I'm going to close with one more. I'm going to close with this. John chapter 15. If you turn there, I'm going to close with this, Pastor. I'm almost done right here. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And start in verse 18. Here we go. John 15, verse 18. I hear some pages ruffling, and I'll wait. I like to wait. I don't mind waiting for a minute, everybody to get there, because I wanted to read what the Bible has to say, not what Dale has to say. John 15, starting in verse 18. And it says this. Yep, 15, 18. If the world love you. Oh, no. My bad, I read that wrong. That was the other version. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Why did it hate Jesus Christ? Because he didn't compromise. Imagine if Jesus Christ compromised, we could never be saved. But you know he didn't compromise, and therefore the world hated him. Go on here, and it says, verse 19, if ye were of the world would love its own. I have a question to ask. How many people are knocking down your door to get what you have? Could it be that we're still of their own? Could it be that they're seeing too much of the world in us and not enough Jesus? That's reality. I'm not being a jerk. This is what I get challenged with on a daily basis. When I get up and I pray to the Lord, he says, what are you going to be like today, Dale? The world, or are you going to be more like me? Goes on here, and I'm going to finish with it. If you're of the world love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than the Lord. That means you'll suffer like he suffered. You think that you're not going to suffer? You think that you're not going to go through things because you got to live a separate life? Is that what you believe? You're not greater than our Lord Jesus Christ. That means you will suffer for not compromising. You will suffer for living the way he wants you to live. And it goes on here and it says this. If they all have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. What do you mean? That's right. You go out there preaching that word and giving a witness. They'll keep it. Because it says later on in a few more verses that some will be saved by your word, by your testimony, by how you live, by how your conversation is. There are going to be people who get saved through that. Hey, they're watching you. They're waiting to see. They're pulling on that string. What different do they have to offer than what I already have? And I'm going to end with this verse. But all these things they will do unto you for whose sake? For my name's sake, for Jesus' name's sake. Why? Because they know not him that sent me. My friends, I hope you're still my friends. I love you guys. And I just ask if this message was for anybody, go to God about it. Don't come to me because I'm not God. Quite frankly, God can only do something. God's the only one who can change anybody's mind on this subject. And there's a lot more to it, but I just say this.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity, Pastor, for coming up here. And I'm going to hand it over to him. Please continue to pray for my mother, Ronnie, and continue to pray for Liberty Behind Bars and my family. Thank you.
As Dale was preaching, my attention came to when he was in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, when he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world." Yes. Excuse me, in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
That's it. Yes, sir.
I hear a lot of people read that verse, and it says, and the way they read it is, "For ye were sometimes in darkness."
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You were darkness.
Yes, right.
We were darkness. But the minute that you come to know a holy God as your Savior, that light just springs up in you. And God expects us to be light in the world. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but the devil deceived a third of heaven's angels. The devil deceived the only perfect man created.
That's right, Pastor.
The only hope we have is that perfect Savior.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And you know what? He continues to deceive people today. Music is one of his favorite attributes.
Sure is, yes,
sir. You understand that the Word of God says that he was created with music that actually emanated from his body?
That's right.
He knows a bit about music.
Mm-hmm.
I had a pastor once tell me, "I got this music that's going to attract teenagers. This guy sounds just like Biggie."
God help us. Yes, sir, brother.
You mean to tell me that the guy that you want to listen to, God's people, God's children to listen, sounds like a drug dealer?
That's right. Yes, sir. God help us.
That's what we do. We think that we are doing a favor to people by, let's get them into the house of God no matter what, as if the end justifies the means. That is not God's way.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
God's way is very simple, short and narrow. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
That's right. Thank you.
That's why he says, "I am the door." He says, "No one cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen. Anything outside of Jesus Christ is garbage. I'm going to show you something. You know how he said how this the difference between these hymns are in relation to the rest of the world? Let's see. What's 118? What's 118? Does anybody know? I don't know this one.
Woo!
Well, I don't know, so let's pray that the Lord near to the heart of God.
Yes.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest.
Thank you, Lord.
Near to the heart of God. Oh Jesus, blessed Redeemer. Sent from the heart of God. See, that's the difference between these hymns. Listen, you cannot listen to a hymn that will not point you to Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. That's right, brother. Amen. Thank the Lord.
One of the biggest songs out there is that "I Can Only Imagine." I'm glad. You could imagine a million things. I could care less about what you could imagine. I want to know what God has to say.
That's right. Yes, sir. No question. Help
that's
us.
That's the difference.
Yes, help us, Lord.
My wife and I, we were with our children in Disneyland, and there was this huge group, this Christian group. We get in the bus to go away to our hotel room, and we're sitting down, and you got all these lost people in this bus with us, and saying, "Hey, there's a rock concert going on. We're missing it." That was the Christian man.
Yeah, how about that?
You understand that the words are not music.
That's right.
Music is music. The words are lyrics that are added to the music. And God does not use the things of the world to glorify his name.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You want to know why so many people are messed up?
because the word of God has been corrupted by men.
Yes, sir.
You want to know why people's children live the gospel, live Christ, and go away? Because they're going to a place that wants to appease the flesh. They want to be part of a club. Guess what? The world's got plenty of clubs for them.
Sure does.
They got the Boy Scouts. They got the Girl Scouts. They got the twink, whatever. They got all kinds of weird stuff out there.
Yes, sir.
Your children need a place where they're going to hear the word of God. Yes. And the word of God, the word of God preached, period. I hope, I pray that God spoke to you today. Because in his word says in verse 11, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Is that how we live our lives? And I'm not talking about co-work. You got co-workers that you like that are saved, that are unsaved. Excuse me, that's not a problem.
That's right.
Your purpose should be that they see Christ.
That's
in you,
right.
So that they can come,
yes,
to know Christ.
Exactly right.
I got friends that aren't saved. Congratulations. So do I. Witness to them.
Yes, sir.
With your actions and with your
That's
words.
That's right.
I'm going to say this, and this is going to upset a lot of young people. God doesn't care about you having fun.
That's right.
Because he didn't have fun hanging in Calvary's
Cross. Sure thing, brother.
He cares about your salvation. He cares about your life. And I'm going to close with this because I don't want to preach on top of preaching.
Yeah,
I'm getting close to that.
Yeah, sir, preach. Amen.
You know why Christians find themselves in trouble? Because they ignore God.
Yes,
I'm not talking about in trials. I'm talking about in trouble. I've never met a person, a young Christian man, that got a young lady out of wedlock. I got little kids. You know where I'm going with that. Mm-hmm. Unless he was dating a girl that was lost. Unless he was getting a flake. I'm going to tell you this much. I love every single one of you. As members of this body, part of my responsibility is I have to give an accountability unto God.
Yes, sir.
I love you all, and I hope and pray to God that you know that when I tell you something, it isn't to destroy you, it's to encourage you to get closer
That's
to
right.
God.
Yes, sir.
The closer you are to the world, the further you are from God.
Yes.
The closer you are to God, the further you're from the world. But you need to make a decision as to which way you want to go. We have a visitor here. Make sure you...